May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Living boldly, putting words into action from our gospel lesson today. Now, we really need to take these words of Jesus literally and seriously. If I was to paraphrase a part of our scripture for today, it might go something like this. You may know all about Christ. You may know all about the Bible. You may even address him as Lord. And Jesus may say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. You never did the will of my Father. I don't know how that sounds to you, but hearing those words make me quiver. I mean, am I doing the Father's will? Am I really? Like I said, if you take these words seriously, they do put a little fear in you, don't they? They do me. Do I listen to the words of Jesus on a Sunday or any other day and still make little or no attempt to put it into practice? You know, we pray, thy will be done. But in practice, it is my will be done. There's an old story about this Scottish woman making her way through the countryside. And each time she came to the crossroads, she would throw a stick in the air. And wherever that stick landed, that's the direction she went. At one intersection, however, there was an equally old man who was watching her. And she threw up the stick not once, not twice, but she threw it up three times. The old man was curious. Why are you throwing the stick up like that? She squinted and looked at him kind of displeasingly and said, I'm letting God direct my journey by using this stick. Then why did you throw it up three times? Because, she said, the first two times he was pointing me in the wrong direction. My will be done. My will be done. Wait a minute, Pastor. I thought we are saved by faith and not by works. Didn't you hear that second lesson? And that is most certainly true. It is. We're saved by works. It's Jesus' finished work on the cross that means salvation for all of us who receive and believe it. I think you know, don't you? You could never be good enough to earn your salvation. Jesus would never have had to come into this world if by your righteous life you could earn salvation, earn heaven. But get this. Understand this. Jesus makes us a good tree. Now we are able to produce good fruit. Now we can do the Father's will. Not perfectly, of course, not even close. But because he makes us a good tree, we do things that are pleasing to God. You see, in today's lesson, there are three contrasts. There's the good tree and the bad tree. There is the true disciple, there's the false disciple. There is the wise builder and the foolish builder. Have any of you had a tree in your yard that looked perfectly fine? I've had one like this. And yet it was rotting on the inside. It won't be long before that tree is barren and leafless. Right? That's the contrast between the trees. The contrast between the true disciple and the false one. These people, let me put it this way. It amazes me how some people want to masquerade as Christians for whatever reason. They want to be perceived as Christians, but they don't really want to do the Father's will. I love it that I had a former congregation. Because I can talk about them. If I ever leave here, I'll be talking about you. But there was a man, and I've referred to him before. It was such a shock to me. It's a much smaller church in Alabama. And we were always on a thin budget, right? We went month to month. It was okay. It was kind of faith building. Whew, I'm glad I'm less faith building here. But anyway, this man was known as a big giver. He wanted everyone to know he was a big giver. So I said, oh, that's great. So I left before he died. But when he died, I called the treasurer of the church, who was a friend, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry. How are you going to replace what he did? She said, what are you talking about? He hardly gave anything. Now, why did he go to all that length? All these ways to be perceived as this, the Lord knew. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered to me one way or the other, really. But he wanted to show that he was a dynamic, wonderful Christian man who gave generously because he was well-to-do. Well, fine words are never a substitute for fine actions. There's only one proof of our love for the Savior, and that's our obedience and our want to. We want to serve Him. We want to please Him. The false disciple has self-interest as the top priority in his or her life. The true disciple cares about the glory of God, of pleasing Jesus Christ. It's almost comical the lengths that people go to appear to be a disciple of Jesus while all the time ignoring his will and his commandments. Hypocrisy has always been with us, right? Hypocrisy. A woman was behind a car that sported 3 bumper stickers. Have you ever been behind a car that had tons of bumper stickers? I can't help but read them. But this woman was behind a car with 3 bumper stickers. The first one read, don't be fooled by genetically engineered food, demand labels and safety testing for food. That's a lot of words on that one. The second bumper sticker read, eat for the health of it. Third one said, support organic farmers. The car was in front of her at a McDonald's drive-thru. It's difficult to have an impact in the world if we're saying and doing another, if we're being hypocritical. There are superficial resemblances between the true and false disciples, but in my experience, the false disciple cannot keep it up. Their true selves come into view ultimately. Which leads me to the third contrast. Between the wise and foolish builder. Storms come into everyone's life. Many of you have enough age on you, you know that they can be like hurricanes, tornadoes. They whip into us. And what storms do is they reveal the foundation of our life. The wise builder constructs his or her life on the rock. On Jesus Christ, his finished work on the cross, his word and his commandments. His promises will not fail you, especially when you need them the most. Because storms are coming to every life. Speaking of the foolish builder, Jesus uses the Greek word moro, from which we get our word moron. Or moronic, foolish. It's foolish to build your life on your own pride, your selfish will, your sinful desires, your so-called smarts, or your perceived goodness. That's a terrible thing to build your life on that. And the storms will reveal that it's more like sand. You can't save yourself. I hope you know that. I know you know that. But millions upon millions and maybe even billions of people think they can. They really don't think they need a Savior because they're their own Savior. A day is coming that will prove how horribly wrong they were, and I don't want that for anybody. I know you don't either. So what do we do to take this lesson to heart? I think the first step to the authentic Christian life is to really listen to Jesus. Really listen. That's how I started this morning. Really listen to his words. Don't pass by his words. Personally ponder them. They're not just for other people. They're for you. He's speaking to you. So what is the foundation of your life presently? Has some rotting set in on a portion of it? Have you been playing the part of a hypocrite? How will you handle the crises of your life and the ultimate one, your death? Listen. Jesus will show you a better way. Listen. The second step is to stop simply being an admirer of Jesus and truly desiring to be a disciple. And there's a difference. A true disciple follows Jesus. What would Jesus have me do? You've heard that cliche almost now. What decision would he have me make? Sometimes it's not that clear. But the important thing is to be asking it. I want to follow Jesus. Yeah, there will be times when we don't make the right decision. We thought Jesus was leading this way, but that's why we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to listen, going back to that first step. Analyze your life. What is it that I'm doing right now that may be displeasing to the Lord? Of course, we're tempted to do things that are displeasing to the Lord. First, we need to recognize that it's displeasing to the Lord. I'm not following as a disciple if I'm consciously continually doing things that are displeasing to him. Knowledge of God, his commandments, knowledge of Jesus and his finished work on the cross, the Holy Spirit's role in our life, in other words, theology, must become life and inform who and what we are. There shouldn't be beliefs here and actions here. They should come together in our life. It makes no sense to go to your accountant or your doctor, or hear what they have to say, and then do all the opposite. Right? It makes no sense to hear the words of Jesus and then not do what he says. The final step is to resolve to let Jesus imprint your life in every way. The first thing will be his forgiveness and his love for us. How can you live life without it? The guilt that we could have in life, he wants to give us his forgiveness. To know that we're a child of God, that he loves us. This is the first way he imprints himself upon us. His life, Jesus' ways, his thoughts stamped on you. I notice that I read the Gospels that Jesus was a man of action. He didn't just avoid sin. He didn't just go around it. No, he did good things. Really, really good things. So what good things could you do for others? Think about people you come in contact with every day. How can you help these people? How can you love them? How can you bless them? How can you serve them? How can you be Jesus to them? If Jesus is imprinted upon us, then that's going to break our focus on our selfish will. My will be done. No, it'll be his will be done. Resolve to think of others and their needs. forgive, love, encourage, be kind, be patient, befriend, help out with money, listen to, walk beside them, 100 other ways to be like Jesus. Now, many of you know, we got back from Europe on just this past Friday, and we were picked up from the Atlanta airport by our good friend Barry Voss, who lives about 2 hours to get to his home where our car was. Of course, we were exhausted, and it was tiring and all that, and he had told us earlier that his van was having car problems, but he took it in. It died at an intersection, and he had taken it in. They couldn't find anything wrong with it. Well, we got to that very same intersection. Guess what? The car died. And he said, we got to turn off the air conditioner. He was a little rattled, you know, and because we stopped right in the intersection. I mean, right before the intersection. And one car blared its horn at us. But then, now this is Georgia, and there are a lot of Christians in Georgia, right? What was remarkable is that this young man and his, as he pulled over, he got a guy behind us, pulled over. Can we help you? Can we help you? Yeah, you can get us another car. That's what I wanted to say. You know, that's what Christians do. They help people. And in that small way, it wasn't small to us at that moment, but we just sat there for a while, let the car cool down, and he got it started again, and we, you know, dragged into his home. Thankful that we'll never see that car again. Yeah. The life of Jesus is imprinted on us, we who are his disciples. And we do the things he did. So let's go through the points. Listen to him. Really listen to Jesus and his words. To desire to be not just an admirer of Jesus, but a true disciple of his. Have that want to. And thirdly, let him imprint your life with all that he was and is and continues to be. Live boldly. Put Christ's words into action in your life. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus now and always. Amen.
Amen.
That's a lot of amens, I know. Got a few more to go.